know how we do it.
Welcome. You are now in the village.
What up, y'all? This is your girl, Lady Jay. What up, y'all? This is your girl, Lady Jay. Y'all know what to do with us, huh?
You are now in the village. Home of Taking It Back Tuesdays. Welcome to the village, the kids' corner, the second helping, and music moments.
It's your girl, Lady Jane. Recording from the bedroom, from the kitchen table, from the library there. You know how we do it.
This is KK. This is KK. This is KK, and you're listening to Bluntly KK.
Alright, y'all, it's your girl Lady J, and I am taking over the mics today. And I have a wonderful roundtable here. This session here, we are wanting to do a real estate roundtable because, you know, KJ and I just brought our house, and we wanted to kind of come back and give some information to our listeners about the house buying process. Because I feel like a lot of people, every time we say, oh, we just bought a house, everybody's like, oh my gosh, like as if it's like this crazy thing that nobody can do, you know, like we just did something absolutely special. And I don't think that we did. So I want to create a space where we can have a conversation about house buying. So right now I have two very special guests in the house. In the studio, you have Miss Angela Rickman with Pacific Sotheby's International Realty. Yes, I did it right?
Yeah, perfect.
Thank you. And I have Mr. Damon Bell with Union Bank. Angela is a real estate agent, and Damon Bell is a loan officer, correct, Damon? Is that right?
Loan underwriter.
A loan underwriter, which is different than a loan officer?
Yeah, we make the loan decisions on the loans and analyze all the information.
Oh, okay, good. And so what does a loan officer do?
They go out and get the business pretty much and put the package together so that we can underwrite it and make a loan decision.
So basically, really, I want to have you on so you can tell me exactly what I need in order to make a loan happen.
Right.
Correct. All right. So first, allow me to say thank you for coming. I really appreciate you taking your time out on a Saturday. You could have been anywhere doing anything, but I appreciate you came here to Welcome to the Village at the wonderful Malcolm X Library doing some... and to come and talk to us about what it is that you do, your passions, the things that you do every day. So thank you.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
So I guess first, like, let's discuss the myths of home buying, right? Like I said, people always think like, oh, I can't buy a home because my credit's too bad, or I can't buy a home because I haven't been on my job for a long time or whatever. So first, let's talk about credit scores.
Okay.
You know, because that's a huge thing for people, mm-hmm. I think, with buying a house. Is there a credit score that, you know, makes it ideal, perfect, not so much?
Well, credit score is important as far as the amount of the loan you can get. Sometimes it has to do with pricing. It just depends on, there's a lot of different qualifications and different loan programs. So you mm-hmm. might have to have a 760 score in one program. You can have a 650 in another program. It just depends on what you're trying to qualify for.
Okay, so maybe let's step back for a second. Maybe let's start off having a conversation about the different types of loan programs. Would that be better?
That'd be good, yeah.
Okay, so let's talk about that. What kind of loan programs are there?
We have programs. We have one that's called EOM, which is an Equal Opportunity Mortgage, which would allow you to have a lower credit score. It's for people kind of low income, mid income kind of area.
Okay.
First time home buyers kind of program. You can get away with that with being a 600 credit scores.
Okay. And so that, tell me again, what's that? Equal?
Equal Opportunity Mortgage.
Equal Opportunity Mortgage. So that's people who may not have like the best of credit, but they still want to buy a home.
Right, right.
You know? Or maybe not have a lot of income.
And not a lot of money and a lot of reserves either.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What do you mean by a lot of reserves?
After you close a loan, after we've taken out your down payment and what it costs for you to loan, there's a reserve requirement in most loan programs.
Mm-hmm.
For that program I was just talking about, there's no reserve requirement.
Okay. And reserve just means?
Your mortgage, like say your mortgage payment is $2,000 a month, mm-hmm. and they might say, we want to see that you have 2 months reserves.
Okay.
So then you have to have, you know, $4,000 left over after it's all closed.
Right, right. Okay. Good. Okay, so
and
we have.
There's also on the FHA loan mm-hmm. program and the VA loan mm-hmm. program. But for a VA loan, I know there's 0% mm-hmm. down. Mm-hmm. For FHA, you need 3.5% mm-hmm. down.
Right.
Right.
So, those are, and then there's the conventional
right,
loan program
right,
where
right.
you could put 5,
right.
10, or 20% down.
And so that brings another question. A lot of people wonder if you have to have like a whole bunch of money saved up in order to buy a home.
Not always.
Mm-hmm.
Not always. People typically think they need 20% down.
Right.
And you know, in regular cases, but there are a lot of programs, like you were saying, 5%, 3.5%,
mm-hmm.
some 2%, some no percent.
Right.
Yeah. Like I'm working with this family right now, and we got them into this house, and they only had to put 0.5%
mm-hmm.
down.
Okay.
That's through the Cal FHA program.
Mm-hmm.
So there's several programs out there.
So there's programs out there for people who don't have a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
who maybe have not as much income, who don't have a lot of income.
Mm-hmm.
So there are programs out there for people to buy houses.
Yes.
Right?
Definitely.
So you guys, just so you don't know a lot of stuff, but here, we just came in the door. My lovely husband, KJ, came in the door, and my mother-in-law is on the scene. Mm-hmm. Hey, Mom. You not speaking today? Yeah, you go ahead. Grab a mic.
Oh, okay. Hello. Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
So,
I'm loving this topic.
Mom, just to get you caught up, and you look absolutely amazing today. I just want to let you know.
Thank you.
You're definitely making a statement with what you got on today. You guys will see the pictures on Instagram. There it is. We are having a real estate conversation because Kevin and I, we just bought a house, and so I think one of the things was, we felt like every time we talk to people like, oh, we just bought a house, they're like, oh my God, that's so amazing, that's such a huge feat. And yes, it is huge, because
mm-hmm.
like, you know, we are first time home buyers, or first time generation home owners.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it's called. So I think that's huge, but also I just don't want everybody to think that it's such a hard thing, and like, you can't buy your own home, you can't own your own home.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And so we were just talking about like some different types of loans and stuff like that. So now we know about the EOA.
EOM.
EOM, and we know about the
FHA.
FHA and the 3%
VA.
And the VA. We know all these different home plus conventional,
mm-hmm.
where conventional is where you have to have like a full 20% down or something like that.
In some cases, but not always.
Okay.
Not always.
Yeah.
So there's definitely different types of home loans out there,
right.
where people can kind of get in there and
mm-hmm.
do it.
Right.
And you don't have to have a whole bunch of money saved up.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Like with that 0.5%
mm-hmm.
program, I mean, all you have to do is walk up to the table with 0.5%.
Right.
Which is a minimal
right,
amount.
Right. That's almost nothing.
And that's yeah. That's 0.5% of the whole total home loan.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
Okay.
There are some qualifications, of course, in terms of FICO score
yeah.
and debt to income ratios
right.
and income
yeah.
qualifications, but it's through the FHA program,
mm-hmm.
and you can walk up, get your dream home,
mm-hmm.
put down 0.5%,
yeah.
and you don't have to worry about paying back the other 3% until or unless you sell the property or refinance.
Okay.
So it's a great way to get your foot in the door while interest rates
mm-hmm.
are extremely
mm-hmm.
low.
So let's talk about for a second. We talked about credit score. It doesn't have to be, you know, in the 700s or 800s the way people think it does.
Not on every program.
Not on every program, right? So what happens if I come to the table and my credit isn't where it's at? You know what I mean? Like,
then you work with a credit repair mm-hmm. company. There are several out there. I happen to work closely with United Education Credit Services, and they can help dispute some of the derogatory information on your credit report to bring up your FICO score.
Right. And so is it safe to assume, like, depending on, you know, what my credit's like, within a year or to 2 years, I could probably have all of that taken care of and my credit score rebuild it back up?
Yeah, exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. Sometimes less time than that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Look at that. So even within a year, even if I came to the table and my credit wasn't where it was at, maybe I don't have the 5% down, I have a year roughly to build my credit up and, you know, save up a little bit of money. And I could be in my own home by December.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That is an amazing feat. Baby, you have any questions? Have anything that you want to say? I mean, because I don't want you to want to exclude you from this. You know?
I think my biggest thing with this one and just bringing this topic to the table really was about just letting people know that it's not as hard as the myth is. Like, when we went through the process, I think it was harder trying to find a house than actually going through the actual
qualifying for the loan,
the actual home buying process. I was like, you know, trying to find the right house, yada, yada. That took forever. But once you actually got it in your mind, like, this is the home that we want, and we proceeded, it wasn't that long.
No.
It wasn't that hard. If you have a great realtor, and we did. So she took care of most of the stuff. She would email us or text us, say, hey, we need this, this, and this from you. Take care of this.
Yeah.
We did it. She took care of it, and there it was. So it just depends on, you know, what you're willing to go through. It's not that hard, people. It really is. The American dream of owning a home is within your grasp. So go for it.
Let me back up for a second, because I wrote a note down here, job history and versus students. So when we brought our home, I was in my however many, I went to school for like 10 years before I finally was like, I'm done with this. But I didn't have the job history of, I didn't have the it's supposed to be what, 2 years?
2 years, yeah.
I didn't have the 2 years of solid job history. I had the 2 years of solid school history and like working jobs in between to kind of make ends meet. But I think I just wanted to take a moment to talk to the students out there to say, like, hey, you don't have to, just because you're a student, doesn't mean you can't buy a home.
Right. I know in some cases, for us, say you went to school for something special, like a nurse or something, and you just started your job and you were on a job for 3 months. We'd take the time that you were in school to make up for that 2 year history.
Okay.
So you would give us your certificate, your diploma.
Right.
And I say, well, she has a 2 year history of nursing, even though you've been on the job for 3 months.
Right. And that's exactly how it went for me, because I was only on my job for about maybe a month, I think. I think I had just cleared a month when we found the house. But I had been in school for, you know, since like 2005, you know, slowly working towards getting all of this taken care of. So I definitely think that was... I do like that. I do like the fact that, you know, it doesn't discount the students being out.
And then through the FHA program, you can also receive a gift from the family in terms of your down payment.
Okay.
So if you're, you know, right, a graduate and you don't have the down payment you want to buy, you could always borrow money from your family.
From family. Yeah. See, my family was broke, so that didn't happen. You know what I mean? Like, my mother-in-law helped us out, but everybody else was like, I ain't got no money for you. I barely got money for me. But for those people out there, if you have a mama and daddy or an uncle or somebody who can give you some money, you go ahead and take that money from them.
I see it all the time.
If you have a daddy Warbucks, go ahead and holler at him.
Make that happen. So, first-time home buyers. I remember a couple of years back, I think, Damon, they were building a set of homes out by where we live, and I remember they had these huge first-time home buyer programs. And I remember sending you some information, emailing you, asking you, hey, Damon, what do you think about this program? So, I don't know if maybe it just seemed like back then I heard a whole lot more about first-time home buyer programs, and that was like during the recession, and you know, there were a lot more people trying to get into homes, mm-hmm. or first-time home buyers getting into homes, and it was like a little bit more strict or something. But now I feel like I don't hear as much about first-time home buyer programs.
They're still out there. You just kind of have to research them. Your county, your city, they give you first-time home buyer programs. They might require that you go to a class, mm-hmm. and take a little home buyer program class, and they give you a certificate.
Okay.
But that opens you up to having down payment assistance. It opens you up to meeting realtors and different people that know specifically different programs. Mm-hmm. So they're out there. You have to look for them.
Though. And you got to be willing to do the work, yeah. right? Like you got to be willing to go to the classes, mm-hmm. and go to the events,
right.
to get the information, to get
right.
the knowledge. You
right.
know, mm-hmm. You know. Sometimes I think we as people have become lazy.
Mm-hmm.
Like we don't want to do the work that is required to. Either educate ourselves or educate others around us
right.
about stuff. And so I think that it's important, tighten it up a little bit.
Maybe. No, loosen it.
Oh, loosen it? Sorry, guys, we're having technical issues back here. Forgive us. It's okay. It's what we do at the Village.
Right.
Like it's real people having real conversations about life. So
okay.
Is perfect. That better?
Yeah, that's oh, perfect. Okay. Thank you.
Sorry. So I think that it's amazing. It's great that they offer like certificates and programs and stuff like that out there. It's for people who want to be home buyers or who want to, you know, own their own home and may not know anything about it. Like we didn't know anything
right.
about buying a home. And luckily we had Damon, I knew you through friends. So luckily over the years, as I was doing home buying, I was able to like shoot you some email.
Right.
What do you think about this? And, you know, random. I haven't talked to Damon in over a year, but I'd be like, Damon, can you look at this, Mom? Go ahead, Mom.
I got a question. I understand being a first time homeowner or home buyer is not necessarily someone who has never owned a home before. If you've owned a home and you no longer own a home, but a number of years have passed, and then you're considered a new home first time buyer. Is that true?
For us, it's not. We can see that you owned a home 20 years ago and rent it for 20 more years, and I say, oh, she had an old mortgage. She's not a first time home buyer.
Oh, okay. So, I know, because some banks will consider you.
Some banks may.
Yeah, I think after 7 years of not owning a home, you're considered a first time homeowner again.
I've never had that. I've never done that.
Okay.
Because sometimes it would hinder something sometimes. So I will look for the fact that, yeah, you actually paid a mortgage before. That can help me approve you.
Okay.
And so would that be even, and that brings up a really good question. If I owned a home 20 years ago, sold it, haven't owned a home since then, been renting or living with family or whatever, would that be beneficial to me now 20 years later and I'm trying to purchase a home?
It can be in a sense that if I was trying to look for some compensating factor, say you were on the edge of me being able to approve you, and I can say, well, she's actually owned a home before, so she's had this experience. It's not the first time.
Right.
So that it can help you in that kind of sense.
Got it. Okay. Good. I think the next question I wanted to talk about was, we talked about the different types of loans, first-time home buyers, how about income property? Because I know, like, after the recession, there's been a huge thing flipping homes mm-hmm. and income properties and stuff like that. So what are the home loans like for people who may own a home or may be on a mortgage or home, and now they want to do, like, an income property thing? They want to get a condo or a second home or maybe even a vacation home, you know, for those fancy folks.
I think it's a great idea to have income property. Mm-hmm. It's a great way to build wealth.
Mm-hmm.
I think the key to success is to pay off that mortgage
right.
and have that income mm-hmm. Coming in steadily. Another key is to make sure that your rents cover your mortgage or that your rents can actually mm-hmm. Float to you extra income mm-hmm. each month into your pockets. That's the whole key to success with income property, but I think it's a great way to build wealth. I mean, mm-hmm. not only just property, but you should also think about investing in stocks and bonds
mm-hmm.
and annuities.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, don't put all of your money
in one basket.
Of course.
But yeah, income property is a great way to build
mm-hmm.
wealth.
Mm-hmm.
So basically you're saying is if I own my home and I want to buy an income property, I want to buy a second home, either a second home maybe down the street, or I want to buy, you know, a home in Big Bear or out by the beach or something. You say buy the home and make sure whatever can be, the house can be rented for is more than my mortgage.
Yes.
You know, so that yes. I'm able to get some money coming back.
Yes, right. Yes, yeah. Yes. Okay. Because if whenever there's a repair that's needed, they're going right. to be calling you
yeah.
to make the repairs.
Right.
So you want to have some income.
And some extras.
Set aside in a separate bank account mm-hmm. for those times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's interesting because, you know, KJ and I, we talk a lot about income property. And we talk a lot about, you know, just dreams of wanting to own a house here and wanted to do this and things like that. And we were just having this conversation this morning about the lotto, right? Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's one of our things where we hope one day that we could win the lotto. Mm-hmm. I will never win the lotto because I don't play the lotto.
Me right? either.
It's kind of one of those things you got to put it in to win. So, but KJ occasionally plays the lotto. Uh-huh. So KJ played the lotto last night, baby? Last night. For $280 million.
Wow.
Right? And so I told him, I says, baby, if you win $280 million, one, you're quitting your job first, right? Two, we are buying a whole bunch of property, right? I says, we're gonna buy a whole bunch of property. And he was like, no. And I was like, no. I says, because with income property, buying property is twofold, because you get money from like the land and from the house and you build equity and stuff like that. And then if you have a renter or renters, or is it like a vacation home or whatever, then you get rent money to come in. So I feel like it's a double whammy.
And you get a tax break too.
Oh, that's something different. I didn't even think about the tax breaks. Let's talk for a second about tax breaks. Because I think, I know neither one of you are tax professionals. You know what I mean? And that's okay, because I'm not a tax professional either. However, this is our first year of owning a home, and we're going to have to deal with the tax stuff, right? Mm-hmm. I'm excited. Mm-hmm. I just want to let you know, on the inside, I'm really, really like screaming like, yes, taxes. Any other time, I'm like, oh, it's tax season. But this time I'm like, oh, we about to do some big stuff now. Got some taxes coming. Do you still get good tax breaks when you own like a second home mm-hmm. or a third home? You still get those same tax breaks?
You get your 1099 and your mortgage interest, you write it off.
Even on any home that you buy?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Here's a question for you. Income property, right? Because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm kind of like thinking about this really. So I ask about questions. The things that kind of are interesting to me. Someone told me that if we purchased our home and we wanted to buy a second home and we wanted to use this for income property, that or we brought like an apartment complex or something, somehow the rent is tallied, somehow the mortgage is done based on the amount of rent you're going to get from it or something. Is it, no?
No, the way we would do that is we'll give you credit for like 75% of your rent. We'll factor in the fact that you might not have a renter for a little bit of time, and we'll subtract the amount that we get from your rent, 75% of that, from the mortgage payment, and that's how we'll come up with what your debt is going to actually be on that property.
Okay. All right.
So I'm not sure I understand.
No. That made sense. That made sense. So that basically is, and I wasn't clear with my question because I really didn't know how to ask it correctly, but basically... Because I'm a visual person, so let's do it visual. Someone told me that if you brought a house, right, and let's say your mortgage was, or the mortgage on the house would be $3,000, right? You're saying that 75% of that $3,000 would be factored in towards...
75% of whatever your rent that you would get on that property. If it was a rental property, say you were buying a rental house and you were going to get $2,000 a month rent, we'd credit you 75% of that $2,000 to go against the mortgage to kind of tell you what your debt would be on that property.
Got it. And then we would be responsible for making sure that the other 25% was covered by whoever the owner.
Well, it's just a process of us to see, just to get your debt ratio, go to debt ratio.
So there's still advantages to having a home and then renting it out, you know, because you definitely get still in determining the fact that the debt to income ratio is still taken into consideration that you have the second home and it's not your primary residence and you're going to get income from it. So it's still, some of that is still taken into consideration. Amazing.
Yeah, definitely having that second home, that income property is key. I mean, the goal is to pay it off in 15, 30 years. And then when you're in your 60s, it's just extra income
money.
Coming in each month on top of your retirement or your pension is just extra income. It's right. a great way to save for the future.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. Let's talk for a second about real estate agents, right? Because we talked a lot about the financial stuff. Let's talk about real estate. Let's talk about how do you find a realtor?
Well, you could go to the Department of Real Estate website, mm-hmm. or a lot of folks ask their friends. Mm-hmm. That's the way most folks do.
Right.
They get a referral. Mm-hmm.
Get a referral. Mm-hmm. So, and that's how, I don't even know how we found our realtor. Oh, it's a long story. But basically, most of the time, it's like word of mouth. Mm-hmm. You refer a friend to and get a mm-hmm. realtor and move forward, mm-hmm. right?
Or use your own bank as that's your relationship. And you go in there, and those loan officers have relationships with realtors.
You know what's funny you say that? Because our bank, I think when a long time ago, like 2005, I was interested in buying like a little condo. Mm-hmm. And I was new to San Diego area, and I didn't know anybody, and I didn't know any realtors. And so my bank was like, oh, well, here. Mm-hmm. Check out such and such, such and such. You know, we work with them all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's how... So we refer our friends, we refer our family members to realtors, and that's how we find realtors, right?
Yes.
What do you do if you find a realtor? Like, are you locked and loaded? Like, if I call you, Angela, and a friend of mine referred me, was like, oh, she was amazing for me, but, you know, let's say we get together, and I'm just like, I don't know. Like, am I obligated to stay with you?
Mm-mm. Well, it depends on if you sign any buyer-broker agreement.
Okay.
But then those are very easily broken.
Okay.
So a lot of realtors like for you to at least commit because they do a lot of work. Mm-hmm. And they're not paid until escrow is closed. And, you
right.
know, they're putting a lot of time into research and doing all sorts of market evaluations mm-hmm. or comps for you and
right.
taking you around. So they would like for you to at least reciprocate and be committed
and
to them.
Yeah.
But if for whatever reason the personalities are just clashing,
yeah.
then you can always just cancel.
Yeah.
And no realtor wants to force the issue.
Right.
I mean, it's not a win-win situation
for anybody,
so they'll easily let you off the contract.
Okay. All right, good stuff. What about what about when you are looking for a house? Like me and KJ were looking for a house. I come to you and I say, Angela, I'm ready to buy a house. I have this much money down, my credit score is such and such and such. Let's look for a house, right? Or let's look for a condo or whatever. What does it look like on your end, behind the scenes, when I'm at home sleeping? What are you doing to help me like find a house?
Okay, well, the first thing that I do is set my clients up on this website by the name of Client Connect.
Mm-hmm.
It basically is tied directly to the MLS, and it pulls properties off the MLS and sends it to their email that which meets their search parameters.
Okay.
So each morning they wake up, they look in their email, there's a new home or condo
mm-hmm.
waiting for them to look at. And then they call me and say, hey, I like that property on Emerald Street.
Right.
And then we go out and we take a look at it.
Mm-hmm.
That's basically what I'm doing behind the scenes. And then if you find something you like, there's a lot of hidden costs that people are not aware of.
Like what?
So I like to educate my folks. I always mm-hmm. like to have lunch with them or coffee with them beforehand and just let them know up front, not only are you going to need that down payment, but you're going to need an initial, it's called earnest money mm-hmm. deposit, mm-hmm. good mm-hmm. faith deposit.
Okay.
You're going to need cash saved away for the inspection
mm-hmm.
as well as the closing cost.
Mm-hmm.
So there's these several costs that people, they think, oh, all I need is my 3.5% down. I didn't know I needed all this extra money. So I let them know about all the fees that are incurred. And I always tell them you need a little bit, like Damien was saying, the reserves,
mm-hmm.
because you're going to need money to move.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you get into your home, the first thing you want to do is maybe paint or buy some new carpet or something.
Right.
And so you don't want to totally deplete your
right.
savings.
Right. So there are a little bit of extra things that you, extra money you may need on the side. You need a good faith estimate, a good, what did you call it? Earnest money. Is earnest money, is there a percentage for earnest money? Is it like a certain percentage of the loan or?
I usually see, is it 2%? I usually
mm-hmm.
see, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
So 2% of the loan for earnest money.
Mm-hmm.
And then home inspection.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, I wish I had a home inspector here. Can we talk about home inspection for a second?
Sure.
Just real briefly.
Sure.
How important it is. Because some people don't do home inspections.
Oh, it's required though.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? So, okay, so guys, KJ and I used our VA loan, right? Mm-hmm. Because we're vets to do it. And so we were able to find a home inspection. But who should find a home inspector? Should I find it? Should you find it as a realtor?
The realtor. Mm-hmm. The realtor recommends the home inspector.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So the realtor recommends the home inspector, and the home inspector comes out and checks the whole house.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For damages, for
health and safety issues.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Leaky faucets. My home inspector, he goes through the kitchen. I mean, he turns on every appliance. He makes sure the dishwasher is working, the mm-hmm. stove, the refrigerator. He adjusts the sinks. He goes into the bathrooms. He gets on the roof. He goes outside and inspects the concrete, make sure there's no cracked slabs. Mm-hmm. I mean, he just does an amazing job. He goes up into the attics to make sure there's no leaky roofs.
Mm-hmm.
Insulation, you know, he's in the laundry facility making sure that the washer and dryer and everything is connected properly, inspects right. the windows. So he does an amazing job, and that's the realtor's basic responsibility. And the key thing to realize in purchasing homes is that you have 17 days to back out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just because you find a home you like, and you go to the escrow company and you put down your earnest money deposit, you can always cancel after 17 days. If that house comes back with a cracked slab, mm-hmm. you cancel.
Mm-hmm.
But everything has to be done within 17 days. If the loan doesn't get approved, you cancel. Or if the house doesn't get appraised properly, you mm-hmm. cancel. And you can get your money back.
You get your money back and it'll be good at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but you gotta work fast. Mm-hmm. You gotta make sure, you know, you're working with a realtor that knows this, and mm-hmm. and I always, like I said, during my initial meeting, communicate that to folks to let them know they're not locked in. After 21 days, then it's, you know.
Yeah, you might not get your earnest money back.
You're not going to get your money back.
And I think it says it in the contract.
Yeah, it does.
This little blurb.
I mean, but think about it. Like, for me to walk away from a house and lose $2,000, although I don't have $2,000 to lose, but to walk away and lose $2,000 is nothing in comparison to being stuck with a $4,000 house, a $400,000 house that I can't do anything with.
Exactly.
Right? I can't live in or whatever.
Exactly.
So, definitely when we, for Village, when you have a home inspection done, make sure that your home, and be present when your home inspector is there.
Yes.
Because you want to witness him crawling into the crawl space that's creepy with spiders and stuff. You want him to go on the ceiling. You want him to go, you want to witness what he does.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's important.
Yeah.
Because some people don't. They're not there when the home inspection is done.
Exactly.
You know, and they kind of just take their word for it.
Exactly.
You know?
Exactly. That's a critical time.
Yeah. It's definitely, home buying, I felt like, For Cajun and I felt like it was such a draining process going to find the house, looking at every single house. Although in the beginning it was really exciting.
Exciting, yeah.
In the beginning.
Yeah.
Like after the 12th house, right, I was just like, this layout sucks, let's move. You know what I mean? This is horrible, let's go. You know? It's draining.
Yes.
And I think it's supposed to be draining.
Yes.
You know, yes. I really do. I hate to say it, but I think it's supposed to be emotionally draining, mm-hmm. so that you're able to cut through the excitement,
right.
cut through all of
right.
that, and then begin to make logical decisions
right.
instead of emotional decisions.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know? So I encourage you to take your time and find the house that you want, or that you can at least deal with and mm-hmm. live with for a little while.
Yeah, yeah. And if you have kids, you know, try to buy a house that's located within a very good school district.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Unless you plan to put your kids in private schools.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you're single, then I would go with location, location, location. Mm-hmm. If you can afford to buy by the beach, you know, try to buy in an area that's appreciating mm-hmm. very fast.
Mm-hmm.
So it just depends on, you know, where you are in your life
and what you have going mm-hmm. on, right? Let me ask a question, Angela. With you being a real estate agent, this is just a question that just popped up. What are you seeing as far as, like, empty nesters? You know, I'm just curious to know. Like, San Diego has a huge, like, diverse population. There are a lot of, like, young people, a lot of college people, a lot of military. But I also feel like there's a lot of empty nesters here. You know, a lot of people who are older, you know, Damon, like your parents are mm-hmm. empty nesters, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, because you
nobody's
don't
at home.
Nobody's yeah. at home. It's just you guys, right? So there's a lot of empty nesters, and that's something to think about also. Like when you're buying a home, like although you may buy your home now when your kids are young, or you may not even have any kids, as time goes on, you're going to be like empty nesters in this house. So you got to think about like what is it going to be like for you when you are 60 and 70 in this big old house by yourself, you know?
Right. So. And a lot of seniors, they sell mm-hmm. their property for that very reason, because it's spooky being in a house, right. 5-bedroom house, and it's just you and your husband. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's a waste of space, and then who's going to clean, you know?
Yeah,
so
you got rooms that nobody even goes in.
Right. Yeah. So a lot of seniors, they sell their property and they'll move downtown. Mm-hmm. That's a very popular place.
For seniors?
Yeah, it's very cool down there. Mm-hmm. They get themselves a little 2-bedroom condo overlooking the ocean, mm-hmm. and it's wow. nice. You know, it gives them a lift.
That's good. I wouldn't have even thought that. Mm-hmm. In my mind, I wouldn't even thought that me in my 70s would want to go move into the downtown area, you know? And maybe it's because I don't like downtown right now. So,
yeah.
But maybe when I'm 70 and I don't got no kids and it's just me and KJ, you'll be rubbing on my booty. People want to go downtown.
Well, there's some really nice sections of downtown.
Yeah. You can walk to dinner and everything.
I think maybe that'll be it. Because by that time, we'll probably be more social, definitely.
Yeah.
Wanting to go eat out more and not being, you know. So that's good. Want to go have a drink or two. Good stuff. All right. I want to wrap this up, but I don't want to forget anything. Is there anything that I forgot to mention as far as people who are first-time home buyers? Anything that you could think of that's important? Damon, as you see people, as you're looking at their loans, any tidbit of information that you think that, you know, hey, maybe you want to do this, you know? It's something to think about, you know, because I feel like, you know, home buying is a really big deal.
Yeah.
You know?
I guess one big thing that people make a mistake that keeps crossing my mind is when they try to improve their credit score, they think if they close a credit card that would improve their credit score, but it won't, because you still have that balance there. And people think that it's going to erase the Duraag if they have some Duraag, and it's not going to do that.
Okay, so what should they do?
They should either pay down the balance and then start showing a history of paying it on time. That's the only thing that's going to make it better.
Okay.
But closing it doesn't do anything.
Okay. So they close it with the balance?
Like, they call the credit card company and say, I want to close my account. But you still have to pay on that balance, and it's still there.
Right.
But they think the fact that just because I closed it, that ends everything, and that's not true.
Okay. So paying on your credit or paying on your bills on time, of course it's important. You hear about that all the time. But it's important to show that you've been doing that for such a long time. That really builds your credit.
Right, and not leaving high balances. High balances will affect your credit score.
Okay.
Yeah, and what I've noticed also for a lot of young people coming out of school, excuse me, they get this attitude, oh, I'm not going to pay this school loan.
Right.
And they have no idea them not paying their school loans or not putting it into a deferred mm-hmm. status, what that's doing to their credit report. Mm-hmm. Because the schools will report that to the credit bureaus mm-hmm. and it will lower their FICO score significantly.
Mm-hmm.
So if you can't afford to pay your school loan, try to work out some sort of payment plan or try to work out a deferment mm-hmm. plan, but don't just toss it in the trash.
Yeah.
It's the worst thing you could do. Mm-hmm. Okay. And young people, they just don't know the importance of paying their school loans. They just don't know the importance of paying their bills on time.
Right.
It's amazing what that does to your credit mm-hmm. history.
Okay. Good. I think that was really good information. Credit, I think, is something that I know that I wasn't taught about coming up.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of had to learn it along the way, bumps and bruises.
Mm-hmm.
And it is what it is. It happens like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I really appreciate those that little bit of information. Village, pay your bills on time if you can. If you can't, make a phone call and say, hey, I'm having trouble this month, and this is what I need help with, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes mm-hmm. that will keep mm-hmm. everything from going
mm-hmm.
going awry.
Yeah, absolutely.
Good information. Damon, I know you work for Union Bank,
mm-hmm.
so thank you for coming on.
Miss
Angela Rickman, how can people find you? If we have people here in San Diego who are looking for a realtor or looking for some assistance, some help,
yeah.
where can they go?
Google. Yeah, just Google Angela Rickman and I'll come up. Excuse me.
That's right. So Google Angela Rickman with Pacific
Sotheby's
International Realty. And I'm going to spell Sotheby's because I spelled it all wrong. It's spelled S-O-U-T-H-E-B-Y apostrophe S.
Mm-hmm.
Good stuff. All right. So thank you, Miss Angela, for coming
on.
I really appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Damon.
Thank you.
I appreciate you being here. I know we haven't seen each other in a long time, but I appreciate you coming through and supporting the village. I think it's been a year, probably even over a year since we've seen each other. So thank you very much.
Yeah,
Mom, you look stunning. Thank you. Baby, this is what we do. All right. Village, thank you for listening. You can catch us. You can tweet me at Love and Chanel. You can tweet KJ at Enlighten My Mind. Both of us are on, where are we at? Both of us on Twitter, on Welcome to the Village Twitter handle at W2TheVillage. You can tweet KK at BluntlyKK, and shout out to KK because she's about to do something big for the gamers in the world. So she is about to go ham for the gaming nation. I'm just letting you know, you've been warned. And you can follow us on Instagram. You can follow us on Facebook. We are doing some great things in the San Diego community. So please, I would love for you to come out on Saturday, August 3rd for Family Skate Night. We are trying to raise money to support the Deaf and Hard of Hearing family camp. We will be feeding the homeless the first Wednesday of every month on the corner of 16th Street and Island with Embrace the Streets. We are just really trying to branch out and really do big stuff with Welcome to the Village. We are going to be putting up some t-shirts soon. So just, you know, stay linked in. You check us out on our website, welcometothevillage.com. You can send me a voicemail. You can leave a voicemail for me or KJ at our phone number that no one ever calls us on. It's 619. God, I just had it. I lost it. Sorry.
619-202-1562.
That's it. So you can leave us a voicemail. You can send us an email. Like, just get at us. And I am probably going to start blogging at some point in time. I have blogs written. I just haven't posted them. So you can check out the blog, too. I have a good one coming up soon. So thank you very much for listening. We love you. Good night.
I holla.
Are you in the area of Melbourne, Florida? Are you in need of an excellent dog or cat groomer that loves your four-legged family as much as you do? Well, at Heavenly Touch Dog and Cat Grooming, we love each other just as we love your pets. Family-owned and run, with perfection as our goal. If you would like to book an appointment, please call us at 321-622-6963. Email us at heavenlytouchdogandcatgrooming@gmail.com. Like us on Facebook at Heavenly Touch Dog and Cat Grooming and check out our photo gallery of our adorable, satisfied customers. Come visit us in person, 2260 Sarno Road, Melbourne, Florida, 32935. Visit our website for the most current pet-friendly specials, www.heavenlytouch.vpweb.com. With a variety of services to choose from, we are sure you'll be happy working with us. We know your pet will want to come back for another Heavenly Touch.